And welcome back to School Spirit on Armor of God Catholic Radio. This is Tom McNew, and we have a new co-host now that Father Harry Dean has been reassigned, and Miss Robin Spencer is going to. A lot of y'all already know Robin. It seems like she's involved in everything, at least here at Holy Family. But anyway, this is going to be a little bit of a different change of pace for what we've presented the last few weeks. We've been diving into some of the schools, and we have a couple more that we'll do as priest and principal schedule allows. But today, we're going to talk to Mark and Samantha Taylor. Their two oldest sons go to St. Mary Catholic School in Temple. Mm-hmm. I appreciate y'all agreeing to do this.
No, absolutely. Thank you. Yes, thanks for having us.
The intent for today is to just kind of get some perspective from the parents. Mm-hmm. I think this is something that we'll do. This will become kind of a regular, recurring thing. So you guys get to, like, set the bar. No pressure.
It'll be an easy hurdle.
But anyway, so I'll just give you all a chance to kind of just, you know, introduce yourselves real quick and talk about the boys.
Well, my name is Samantha Taylor. I'm married to Mark for 15 years. So I'll just say that I did start homeschooling them, and then we decided to send them to school. This was a big decision, something we talked about years of talking before we actually did it, research. And so I stay at home with my two youngest, which are 4 and 1.5, and then we have one on the way.
On the way. Soon to be three young kids at home.
Yes. Blessing.
It's exciting. It's exciting. So you talked a little bit about homeschooling. Did you homeschool them at when they were real young, you know, in kindergarten, first grade? Or?
No, not originally.
Okay.
When they could go to school, do we qualify for pre-K, you know?
Sure.
We do. Okay, great. You're going. So he went to pre-K, our oldest, and then we moved, and then he didn't qualify to the county that we lived in.
Okay.
So he went half a year, and then came kindergarten. That was our first child in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. You want to tell him?
Yeah, so him going to school and, going into public school. And we've all been products of public school, at least me and her, I kind of knew what it was going into it. And I remember my own experiences and everything like that. And just watching him develop and seeing your own personality traits instilled in your own children, you kind of see what's happening. And we decided, we had a sit down conversation, and we decided, well, is this really what we want? Is this the direction that we were going in? Because I've seen, not to date myself, but it's been some time since I was in school, and not a lot's changed.
Yep.
You know, class sizes, priorities, basically almost curriculum. And this is just getting into him being in, what was it, kindergarten, first grade. You know, this is just at the beginning. And I was already seeing a repeat of history repeating itself, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so we decided we wanted to look in a different direction, and we knew some of the choices that we were making, what it was going to be as far as, life choices, sacrifices, financial decisions, and this, everything was going to go into this. Yeah. So we weren't going to get a lot of support from, I guess, the state, if you will. You know, like transportation was going to be on us. Tuition was going to be on us. It was going to be, something we're not accustomed to, especially growing up. So it was
young couple.
Yeah, it was decision time.
So Robert was in kindergarten.
Yes.
And John was 3, 2.
Okay, so
yes.
I'm going to make you do some math in public.
Yeah. How old are they when they go to kindergarten? 6-ish?
Yeah, yeah.
5?
Yeah. John was 4.
Okay, there's 2 years, yeah.
Okay. And so Robert went to kindergarten in first grade?
No, just kindergarten.
Kindergarten in public school.
Yeah.
And then you made the decision to
homeschool.
At that point, it was just Robert and John, just the two older boys. What did you know about homeschooling, Samantha? I mean, seriously, and I'm not trying to, for those of you who are listening, I am not trying to belittle or mock anybody, but that's a pretty big decision
It's a hard choice to make,
that I'm going to be the primary educator of my children.
Well, it definitely shifts your perspective on what your daily life is going to be like. Before we decided to homeschool, I mean, he finished out the year, but I think we started talking about it in the first quarter of school.
For sure.
So it was just like, okay, if you were going to buy a house, let's research. Mm-hmm. What do we need to know? You know, what are the organizations out there that can help brand new homeschoolers, mm-hmm. which there are several the state offers. And I had some college, you know, I thought I might be a teacher, and then I shadowed and I thought maybe not, you know, which is why I never really thought about homeschooling my own children mm-hmm. because, you know, I had shadowed and I thought not for me, you know, that's just not for me. You know, I thought maybe a different path. And so we looked at curriculum and companies and, you know, well, what does a day look like for a homeschooler? And there's a ton of homeschooling co-ops out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's basically what you go do. You go talk to somebody who's done it before. Like,
okay,
how long have you been homeschooling? I have no idea. I'm thinking about it. Tell me what I need to know, you know, and you have moms and some, mm-hmm. you know, some dads, you know, out there that homeschool, and they're just, you get a support system mm-hmm. before you even start to make that decision, mm-hmm. you know, and get prepared, yeah. I would say. Get prepared at least half a year before, maybe, you know.
That's really helpful to know, because when you do your research, it certainly helps you to be better prepared and to have an idea at least of the curriculum mm-hmm. and how you're going to approach that with the children.
And mm-hmm. when we knew going into it, and when we had those conversations about homeschooling early on, that this wasn't going to be the be-all, end-all, that right. we knew that he was going to transition back into school of right. some kind, that mm-hmm. this wasn't, we weren't forever. Going to homeschool forever, you know. So it was important for us that whatever homeschool direction she chose or whatever we chose as far as the curriculum that we bought into, it would transfer back into some other kind of school, exactly, some kind of testing system that mm-hmm. he could transfer back mm-hmm. into.
Oh, yes.
At that moment, we weren't sure if that was going to be another public school or Catholic school, but or any kind of a private school, but we knew that he was mm-hmm. going to transfer back into something, and it had to be something that would transfer. We didn't want to next several years of this, and then we get there to put him back into something, yeah. and they'd be like, well, what is this? This doesn't count.
Sorry.
Those are really great discussions
yes.
to have.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you were both doing it together, I think is super important for our listeners to know and to realize that this has to be a decision that you make together, even if
prayerfully.
Only one of you, mm-hmm. yes, are going to be the primary source of the learning.
Right.
Just to know that you had a thought in your mind as well of, at some point we want to transition to an environment where he will be out of the home mm-hmm. or they will be out of the home going to school too, because that helps to prepare mm-hmm. you as well. So mm-hmm. great things for our listeners to know.
Yeah. And so just for context, at this point, Mark, you're kind of a young firefighter mm-hmm. in the grand scheme of things.
Yep.
And so very, very unpredictable schedule. Now, were you working with Colleen
yes.
at this point already? Okay,
I was still with Colleen Fire. I'd finished paramedic school. Like you said, I was in the swing of things. But with my current schedule, you know, I was 24 on 48 off. So it really wasn't conducive to me picking up as far as helping her with the curriculum. So it was pretty much on her shoulders as far as setting up schedule, keeping the consistency of a school day for them. Mm-hmm. And so she you know, I backed it up wherever I could, you know, all the extracurricular stuff, you know, on my days off, whatever needed to be done. But it was, and that was part of it too, you know, that I would, you know, with my schedule being available, it did help. It helped out a lot, because there's a lot of the functions that the homeschool program did once we got really rolling with it. There was field trips that they could do. She set up stuff with like the water treatment plant, mm-hmm. They had their other stuff too. They were doing Boy Scouts and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. it lended in. I filled in there, but I really didn't need to be behind the book. that was better left to Samantha for sure.
But still though, it gave you an opportunity to be somewhat involved.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
But the burden, Samantha, was 95% of it was on you.
You know, I would say I did most of it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, as far as the traditional subject, core subjects, you know. Mm-hmm. But we chose a curriculum that was really easy mm-hmm. for us to use. You know, and they have different curriculums that might suit a different child's learning or interests, you mm-hmm. know. So I knew Robert liked to read. So I did all about reading, mm-hmm. you know. And then I realized, oh, this is a little bit young for him that I bought, the curriculum that I bought. That's okay. I'll save it for John. Mm-hmm. And some of them do offer umbrella programs, which I thought about, but I didn't feel like I needed at the time.
Okay.
And those are basically kind of like, I would say, like online.
Yeah.
Like you turn your stuff in, it gets graded, it gets sent back to you. All the business end is done, you know, and maybe there might be some videos or online instruction.
Okay.
But I thought, he's little, you know, we don't need that yet. Maybe when we get to middle school, but we were done by then. So I was glad to put him, all of them, into the Catholic school system.
So you did. So you did.
Segue, yeah.
Yes. When did you? That was my goal.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, Robin.
So that was a great segue to. So when did you make the decision to? I guess what kind of grade? Elementary is.
Yeah, fifth grade. Yeah, the last year of elementary.
Yes. So we decided once you got to a certain point, education wise, with our home program. We decided it was transition time. Mm-hmm. He's getting older, extracurricular stuff, you know, school programs, even the education, just where he was getting, I mean, it was getting more involved. So we decided to transition over, and we went back, looked at the public school, and we pretty much knew we had already made our decision at that point. We weren't going that direction at all. And so we looked into the Catholic school program here locally. And honestly, we initially started in Killeen. Everything that we looked into, it met all the curriculum, it checked all our boxes.
Mm-hmm.
One, it gives us an opportunity to, peers are important, as we all know, with kids growing up especially. You know, we remember ourselves, you know, your peers influence a lot of your decisions growing up, whether you like to admit it or not.
That's true.
And with the Catholic program, with the Catholic schools, you have an opportunity to influence those peers. Whereas, you know, in the other direction, in the public, schooling system, you don't really get to influence that at all. You don't have a lot of choice in that matter.
Yeah.
Everybody's kids are there, and all makes and all models, if you will. And so by helping to influence them, they get to be around like-minded peers that are, you know, spiritual in nature. They have the same conversations, and it's a safe place, you know, for them to indulge in and to experience their spirituality.
Yeah.
So that was important for us.
Yeah.
It gave us, you know, the class sizes as well. Once we started looking into it, the teachers have an opportunity to be more involved with the kids because the class sizes aren't as big. They're not as overrun, and it's nothing against the public system. It's just, it's not designed. I mean, it's designed, but it's so hard for them.
Sure.
You know what I mean? They have so much burden. The classes are so large.
35 kids.
Exactly. Are they really? 35?
Yeah. You know, the classes are so large.
Depends on the
teachers. Level. They have to, unfortunately, have to spend half, if not more, of their time trying to, not really discipline, but trying to keep the class on track.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that takes away from the opportunity. They don't get the one-on-one if they need to. If there's a kid falling behind, or if there's, you know, a little extra this, that, so, you know, they don't get that. And getting it on here, on the other side of that page with the Catholic school has been just tremendous for us. We absolutely love it. Our kids know their teachers. They know them on a level that I've never
personally
had. You know what I mean? I've never had that kind of experience. And to see the teachers take so much interest in your child, I mean, take the time to write letters and emails and call you on the phone, it's not necessarily a negative thing. When I was growing up, it was. The last thing you want to hear was a teacher was calling your house, you know? It was never anything good. So it's definitely a nice change in life, you know?
I was a teacher's kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never got away with anything.
Yeah, exactly.
More often than not, my parents knew what I had done before I even got home with you today, but I digress. So public schools, even though, you know, they're free, they're available everywhere, that was never a consideration for you guys.
Not once we really sat down and looked at what we valued, what our priorities were, because that's what it was. It basically, we had to really sit down and make the hard choice and the hard conversation. What's important to us?
Yeah.
You know, what are we willing to basically fight or sacrifice for? You know what I mean? Getting into this. And it's what it was. I don't want to use the word sacrifice. Honestly, looking, because we've how many years into this now with the kids? At least four maybe?
Four? Yeah. Five. We're going on a fifth year.
It's been a couple. It doesn't feel like a sacrifice. It just feels like a reprioritization of what's important, you know, not far as the financials or anything like that, you know, but it's been really good. It really has.
So in thinking about that, and I don't want you to share anything that you'd rather not, but in thinking about that, what were some of the transitions and the things you had to change in your lifestyle to accommodate going to the Catholic school? I know that, of course, the rewards have obviously, from mm-hmm. just what you've shared, have outweighed any of the mm-hmm. sacrifices, mm-hmm. as you say, or the things you've had to change in your lifestyles. Mm-hmm. But can you share for our listeners what some of those, you know, look like? Mm-hmm. What those look like?
Absolutely. So, like, again, sacrifice isn't a good word, at least not for me, not from my opinion, at least.
But hold on, I'm gonna interrupt you.
Yeah.
Why? I want to know why you think, because this was something that I was curious about, and why you think that it's not a sacrifice. Well, I think this is important for our listeners.
Sacrifice to me is something that you're giving up that is you can't get it back. It's being taken from you. So okay. Sacrifice something, it's taken from you. You can't have it back, and it's something that you wanted, and you feel a loss mm-hmm. from it. Mm-hmm. So, and what I guess what the question was for is, like, so as an example, maybe you don't get a new vehicle, you know what I mean? So that high payment or something like that, or you're not, well, in this area, if you don't own land, you know, hunting's expensive. It's an expensive yep. hobby. You know, mm-hmm. you spend thousands of dollars doing something like that. Mm-hmm. So that's not an option anymore. Or I'm not going to say it's not an option, but is that the priority?
Yeah.
So that's what people may be looking at as a sacrifice. So the vehicle expenses, you know, I don't know if you've even attempted to look, but you're not getting away from a lot without $1,000 plus payments.
Yeah.
So the things like that. So you're reprioritizing what's important. So now what we have done is we have restructured. So, like, obviously no new vehicles, or we're not doing these hunting things, but our family still goes on vacations mm-hmm. and we go mm-hmm. camping, and the kids still have extracurricular activities, and those things come with a price tag. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. nothing's free, mm-hmm. but it's not a sacrifice. We have just reorganized and restructured what's important to us. You know what I mean? So we don't feel a loss. Like, yes, mm-hmm. we are paying. We still pay our taxes. We still pay our property taxes, which includes a school mm-hmm. and that we don't go to. And we are still paying a tuition for both of our children. And it's going to be more. We have, you know, three more, four more. We got a bunch of kids. We have more along the way that are going to follow the same path. Mm-hmm. And so we're setting that structure up of what's important. And so, like I said, we don't feel a loss. You know, our kids don't feel like we're missing out on anything.
So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to set up an interview now 25 years in the future.
Yeah, yeah.
And because I want to hear from Robert and John's perspective in the future, not now,
yeah.
but in the future, how that mm-hmm. that reshaping
felt
of priorities,
for them.
Mm-hmm. what it felt like for them and how it molded them.
From their perspective, yeah.
You know, as kids, you always compare yourself to other children.
Sure.
What mm-hmm. they have, what they can do, you know. Yeah. So naturally, even when we were in public school, that happened. That still happens
sure.
in Catholic school,
for sure.
you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah. I'll hear from them, oh, they get an allowance. You know,
Oh,
what did they do? Oh, okay. You want some money? We could do these chores, you know.
I don't know if you knew
or
this.
Grades. We incentivize grades. Yeah. So, you know, but I think that, you know, we've had a lot of conversations with them, especially with having the new children mm-hmm. being added to the family about, you know, budgeting. You mm-hmm. know, like, this is diapers cost money, but, you know, we still make things work. Maybe we don't go through the drive-through a lot anymore. Maybe less, you know. I can't say we don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, but they can see it, you know.
Right.
But I guess.
Oh, for sure.
But then they see.
And there was some, things we were worried about going into it as well. So being from Central Texas and in this area, football, stuff like that, baseball, sports, mm-hmm. you know, those are things that are, you know, driven in, you know, in school, started in school, if you will. Yep. So you have to find those outside, and you got to make time. And if that's, you know, something that they want to do, prioritize, mm-hmm. and especially in a child's life, you know, a bunch of boys, at least for
they
sure.
need sports.
You know, or any kids, mm-hmm. you know, so it's finding time, stuff like that for them. And they're more, I wouldn't say appreciative, but I definitely notice a difference whenever it's more on them. It's not just a class. They get to just check a box on a schedule and be like, oh, I'm going to go try this. I'm going to go try baseball. I'm going to try basketball. I'm going to try this, you know, where they have to prioritize their time. Be like, all right, now I got to get home from school. I got to knock out my homework. Then we got to pack up the car, and then we got to drive to practice or to a game or something like that, you know. And it's just like, hey, this is for you. We're doing this, you know, this is on your side. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is your piece of the pie right here. Mm-hmm. You choose it, you know, if you want it, you'll have it, but you have to work for it. So you see a little bit more ownership when it comes to it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So have you been able to utilize then, like, the city recreation? Is that the kind of, or are you saying that, okay, so maybe perhaps if the Catholic school in somebody's area doesn't quite have all those sports programs,
sure.
look into your local opportunities.
Right. Yes. And a lot of the schools offer, at least I would say, several sports. They may not offer all of them. It depends on, you know, who the coach is, you know, what their knowledge is, parents volunteering, you know, and ability. But it seems like everywhere we've been, they have soccer, basketball, something else. I didn't play sports in school. I'm sorry. I know there's like a third one out there that the kids did, because it seemed like every season there was something available for them to do.
Okay. Sure.
So they were busy.
The band programs. And they had, band. Yeah. There was one that had archery and stuff like that. So,
that
know.
Was a big one for
But you like and that. Sam, you kind of mentioned the you know the volunteers and that Catholic school community, which we've people that have been listening to the show for the last several weeks have heard a lot of, but it's a big part of. Can you talk a little bit from the parents' perspective about that community?
What they expect you, to be a part of.
Oh yeah, you're not just dropping your kid off. Not like, again, it's not like public school where the bus picks them up and drops them off, and that's your only portion of involvement. You have a commitment to the school as well. You're going to do.
We have a certain amount of hours, and that might vary from school to school, you know, but those hours are also tied into financial aid and assistance. But they do also want the family to do regular volunteer hours. And
so the children are required
to do volunteer hours as well.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. Yes. So the school expects both you as mom and dad and your sons as students to be actively volunteering. Say, yes, I will do that. And I'm doing it knowing that that there's not a reward for me at the other end, that I'm going
to go. Just something you're supposed to do, and which is good.
Pick up trash if
necessary. Which is what we want, and it's not just school, not just projects that benefit the school, but it's also projects outside of school. So it's anything in your own parish, because our parish is separate from our school. So, you know, they accept things at your own parish. Well, we have Fall Fest right here at Holy Family every year. That's a big deal, you know, and they have similar ones at other parishes, and they can help out with their own and the other ones as well. And all those volunteer hours are, you know,
Vacation Bible School for children.
I don't like to say mandatory. They're mandatory, but it's a good mandatory.
The church needs volunteers for everything.
Needed, yes.
So they start learning as children. We need to start and continue doing that all the way
through. And it keeps us in check as parents. Yeah. You know, we need to be involved. You need to be there. You need to be, you're more than just, you know.
You set the example.
Yeah, I'm not buying grades here. You know what I mean? It's not that type of thing. You're being involved, and it helps. And it helps some of us parents, you know, that get in the rut of, I got to do this, I got to go to global work, I got to do this, you know, to get you outside of your bubble, your comfort zone a little bit, and show up, be there, be a part, you know what I mean, which is necessary.
So this is really great, because what I'm hearing is that many of the opportunities that are afforded to you because the kids are going to a Catholic school and in a Catholic school environment, it's giving them not just a great spiritual education because there's like-minded individuals and the students that are there and what the curriculum is, but you're also getting great life lessons that are going to make them productive citizens, because you're talking about when you as a family had to make these choices, you sat down with them and talked to them about budgets, you talked with them about how we have to prioritize, you talked with them about, you know, this is important to us, that this is the type of education that you get, so you included them, which is just so great, because the family structure, when they're united, makes for such a better productive member of society, because you see that you have a stake in this. It's not just, I'm an isolated, you know, with our culture is so so rampant, right? It's all about me. And the other thing is that then you're also talking about how I need to give back, how I need to give of myself. God has given me these talents and these abilities, and I need to go out there and I need to give to others, to back to my school, back to my family, back to my community, whether it be a parish, home, whether it be, you know, what they're bringing to the local sports program, because they've learned and maybe in a different environment and different types of set of values, and they're bringing that, you know, sportsmanship and such. So this is just such an all-around great opportunity.
It is.
For
it
them really is. And for those who they will come in contact with.
So real quick, we got just a couple minutes here left in our program, but I want to give you guys a chance to talk a little bit about how you have seen the boys grow in the last couple, 3 years, physically, spiritually, intellectually, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You know, all the LYs. And
well, it's really been really leaps and bounds. Our oldest, he is, I couldn't be prouder, honestly. Mm-hmm. He is, his spiritual, where we had this conversation the other day, where they're at their age is nowhere near where we would have been with their
Excuse me, share the age of your oldest, Robert.
Almost 14.
Okay, yep. Thank you. Yeah. That's important for our listeners. Okay,
you know,
go ahead.
He gets, he does, he's a altar server. His knowledge of his faith is just, it blows me away. I can literally come to him when I find myself struggling with questions and why certain things are happening. And he can be like, oh, Dad, well, it's because of this, that, and the other. Oh, well, Dad, well, the Pope's doing this, so this is happening. And this bishop said this, you know, whatever the case may be. And it just really blows my, it really sets me back to just watch him develop and the virtues and everything that he is developing. But from being in a faith-based education system mm-hmm. is I couldn't be happier. I mean, I've never once sat back and questioned our decision. Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's
it's,
wonderful.
It's really been something. And his brother, John is 11, mm-hmm. following right in the same footsteps. You know, obviously, no two kids are the same. But the same. John's faith, and we get compliments on his faith from his teachers all the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, he's very spiritual. You know, in the set, you know, they're like, whatever you're doing at home, keep it going. I'm like, well, you need to talk to his mom. But it's been really great.
Yeah. Well, they like to learn about. You know, they have an interest in these topics. You mm-hmm. know, it's mm-hmm. I put on the news. That's part of the news. You know, that's what we watch in the house, you know. Mm-hmm. So if they see something, you know, and mm-hmm. they want to watch it, I'll let them and we'll discuss it, you mm-hmm. know. And for some reason, they can just remember everything
that's
that
awesome.
They've ever heard about this, you know. And I'll struggle to remember what were they talking about with that episode we just watched on the news, you know?
That's great. That's great.
But they've done great with their social skills too, you know, and as far as developing their reading, you know, in Catholic schools, mm-hmm. I don't know if public schools do this, but it's a test grade for AR. So they really encourage reading. And both of my kids are readers. Like,
that's good.
You know, I limit the TV. They can't have TV during the week, only mm-hmm. on the weekend. Unless they earned it, and
yeah.
then they have to work for it. That's an extra thing.
That's good.
The fact that they reward them with like a test grade, you know, that's a big deal for their GPA. Is mm-hmm. a test sure, grade, sure. you know, yeah. and
we're gonna have to cut it off right there. I will tell you an outsider view. Mm-hmm. I have been amazed, and Robert in particular. Because he's at that teenager level, you know, and he's in the years where this is where a lot of us, and I'm looking at you, Mark, a lot of us, you know, we made a hard left turn and it was not in a good direction,
sure.
right? And a little bit rebellious. And, mm-hmm. and I don't see that in him, yeah. you know. And I think that's just, it's a credit to how you have prioritized, and I love that word, and I'm going to use that again, how you have prioritized where you want your boys to be 10, 15, 20 years from now, even after you guys are long gone. I think that's tremendous.
They're great. They're boys. They're going to make more wrong. They make more right decisions than wrong decisions. Yeah.
That's good. That's great. Well, thanks, folks, for joining us this week on School Spirit. And be sure to tune in next week right here on your home for Catholic Radio in Central Texas. And remember to put on the armor of God.